This is New Thoughts for Actors and Filmmakers, where we discuss overcoming fear and self-doubt and help to build in those resources to physically, mentally, and emotionally be at your best, no matter what side of the camera you may be on. My name is Nathan Gist, joined by my friend
Jim Clark.
Welcome back to our amazing conversation with Chris Keneally and why everything matters. Jim, we were just discussing the need to keep a positive attitude and keep up the grind throughout your journey, even when the path ahead is not clear.
I've been there. I've been there as an actor, being on set of a movie that you think, okay, this is going to do one thing for me and go somewhere else.
Mm.
And what happens is, and then you're off that movie and it's like, back to grind, baby.
Yeah.
Back to the grind. What's next? I just produced a really good film in Los Angeles in May. A week later, I get a call from a very dear friend of mine who's a producer to ask me to come out and spend a week on a consulting job. Do you think when I wrapped that movie I was producing that went really well, that the next thought was, I'm going to, you know, drive 4.5 hours to do a consulting thing that would have been exciting to me 20 years ago, but like I'm a producer, I'm a filmmaker, I'm an actor. Like I just came off of, I was the lead producer of this film, right? I said yes in 2 seconds. First of all, relationship capital. It was Jenny Hinke, one of the best humans you will meet, one of the best producers in this business. She asked me, I say yes. It led to relationships, it led to opportunities, and I got to be a blessing to other people. I know that feeling of like, have I gone past this?
Yeah.
I've made it, I've gone past it. But making it is every day waking up and chasing your dream.
Yep.
That's making it. What am I doing today to get me closer to the next dream?
Everything matters.
But I do understand that feeling. I've had that feeling that you've had. I do, I know it, I respect it, but I also know the moment you said yes, it was life-changing for you. And we wouldn't be here if you didn't.
Because after that doc, we had I wrote a script, a competitive eating, you know, comedy. It wasn't the Crazy Legs story exactly, but it was like a broad comedy that takes place in competitive eating world. And we took that around with Peter Newman and trying to sell it in Hollywood and that. And that's what we thought was going to be the next step. You know, this is going to be a launch pad to more directing gigs and things like that. And then we had some TV ideas, just a lot of things that it's a difficult business, you know? It's difficult to keep that going.
There's real honor in having a skill set that allows you to earn a living and be involved in this business while you pursue your dream. It is an honor. It is an honor to do it. There is honor behind helping someone else in their dream. But this idea that I'm only a real actor. All I want to do is act. Good luck with that. Good luck. I don't know. Does Keanu just act, Chris? Does he just act?
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know a successful actor who just acts. I don't. I know people who grind. I know people who have businesses and restaurants and all that. Great story. Thank you, Chris. Yeah. So you and Keanu decide to make Side by Side. Now walk us through that, what that experience was like. And then of course, that was a very successful movie as well.
Sure. This one was a totally different beast. The Crazy Legs movie, it follows a character and a character's journey and an arc. The character is, you know, has a goal that he's trying to achieve. I know how to tell that story. Side by Side was about a topic, is about the transition of motion pictures from film technology, which had been around for over 100 years, to digital technology that was taking over. And what were the advantages, disadvantages, repercussions? How was that going to change the way people made, watched, felt about, distributed, worked on films? So it's a much different story. There's not really a character. Film is a character? Not really, you know? So we kind of were trying to figure it out as we were making it in a lot of ways. And like I said, at first I kind of thought, well, this could be really boring if we don't do it correctly. But we started interviewing people, DPs. We went to Poland to a place called Camera Image, a film festival for cinematographers, directors of photography. They call them DPs. And got like 20, 30 interviews right there with like the top DPs in the world. Normally you have to chase them all over because they're working, you know, in Africa, Australia, England. Like you never have the top 30 DPs in the world in the same spot, except at this place. So we went there, set up a camera. You know, we set up this dinky little digital camera to, you know, interview, you know, these great cinematographers and started to get their opinions on these things and started to, through these interviews, figure out actually what are the questions that are interesting that we need to ask, you know, and the different opinions. So by making it, we started to learn more about the topic. So as we went further into the process and interviewed new people, we sort of had some expertise and had already taken in all these opinions and thoughts from some great people. And then we just had a big wish list of who we wanted to interview. All these great directors, you know, David Lynch, Scorsese, Fincher, Christopher Nolan, and just went out, you know, when we could put Keanu's name on the email request, plus the list of people we'd already gotten, you know, people were kind of like, yeah, I'm interested. I have opinions to talk about this. And then it was me, my friend Chris Cassidy that I work with on a lot of things, Keanu and Justin Slaza, our producer, basically the four of us flying around the world wherever these people were and interviewing them. You know, it was a really small run and gun doc, which is what I knew how to do. You know, Keanu's carrying equipment and lights and cameras and on the plane, and it's just grinding. The four of us grinding it out. It was really fun. We're sitting across from, you know, the Wachowskis and people like that and getting to pick their brain, or you know, Lars von Trier, we're in Denmark in his, you know, crazy place where he works. One funny story I'll tell you. So we were going to interview David Lynch as one of our first interviews. I love David Lynch, his movies. He's super creative. We're up in the Hollywood Hills. We're, you know, a few minutes early, so we're waiting outside his house. Keanu's there. I'm like, wow, I'm kind of nervous. You know, this is, you know, maybe we bit off more than we could chew. What are we doing? All those questions you have. I walk over, you know, to Keanu to get a little, you know, reassurance. And I look at him. He's like, man, I'm so nervous. Interview David Lynch. I love David Lynch. What are we doing? I'm like, oh, no. You're Keanu Reeves, man.
You can't be nervous. I'm nervous.
Yeah, what are you worried about? So it just goes to show that kind of, you know, those jitters or whatever.
Yeah.
Everybody, I guess, has them. And you get into it. Like you said, you take that first step, set up the camera, start talking to him. And David Lynch, interesting guy, super sweet, super polite, nice, you know, had a lot of interesting things to say. And then you kind of, you know, you're off and running and we put the movie together, tried to make it really interesting and accessible for people, tried to think of the audience that's going to watch this and what they need to know to even understand the conversation and try to make it, you know, funny and feel like a conversation and not this really tight kind of scientific movie and get the personalities of the people being interviewed and things like that. I was happy with the way it came out. The whole way along, you know, showing Keanu cuts, give notes and stuff, and he was pretty critical of things. And then one time, you know, near the end, showed him a cut, and he said, you know, I really like this movie. I love this movie. This movie's awesome. This is a great movie. I was like, wow. I'm like, you never said anything like that the whole time. And he's like, well, he's like, it's how I make things bulletproof. You just got to punch holes in everything that could be better and weak. He's like,
wow.
So when he finally said that he loved it, I was like, wow, we must have something good here. And people we showed it to, you know, the people who were mixing it and doing all the things we talked about, who I kind of know from my other career path, like, this is a really good movie. I'm like, you're just telling me that because they're like, no, this is good. We got into Berlinale Film Festival and Wachowski's, and it was, you know, it's a huge theater. People came to see it. The film did really well. It was in the newspaper, New York Times, and everywhere. It was a really big success for us. And then I would go into post production place, and they'd have, you know, the poster framed on there, and, you know, it's like, wow. Now I'm the guy who has the poster on the wall, not just the intern walking around looking at the other posters on the wall.
So just quickly, let's go through a little bit of the foundational stuff again, brick on top of brick, right? Because one thing I'll say is I now am friends with Justin and Chris Cassidy. Cass, you know, me, you, and Cass, we'll talk about our film in a little bit. These are another OQP, only quality people. These two guys are beautiful people. Mm. So again, that's the tree from Keanu. I meet Chris, the relationship capital grows through these, you know, situations. And Keanu and I were in rehearsals of our movie. We had to rehearse on Sundays before each week. And I had watched Man of Tai Chi, which he directed, and I enjoyed it. That was a great film. And he said, well, if you like that, he goes, you do me a favor, will you go watch Side by Side? And he's like, I'm really proud of that. He's like, I might be most proud of that.
Wow.
And that's what he said to
that's
me.
That's cool.
And that, I had not even heard of Chris Keneally. I didn't know. He hadn't told me about this next project. He just was so proud of Side by Side. Huh. That was the movie he asked me to go home and watch, which I thought was great. And then if I can share, this might be a little personal, but I'm going to share it anyways because, look, plenty of documentation about how nice Keanu is and all that. All that stuff is true, but it's even better.
Hmm.
And one of the things is, do you mind telling everybody about the generosity of when you guys got into Berlin?
Oh, yeah.
Can you share a little bit of his generosity for you and the families and everybody when the film premiered?
Yeah, so, we had a pretty small crew, but we got into Berlin Film Festival. We felt great about it. And Keanu, was like, hey, I'm going to fly you guys over and pay for your tickets. I think it was first class, business class, but I don't even know the difference because I never take this. but yeah, and then, our significant others and it was just so we had like a whole group over there with our post team too, the editors and the assistant editors and the PA, all that. So we're there together in Berlin sharing this.
Oh, it's beautiful.
This success. And Keanu was in China shooting 47 Ronin, I think. He flew from China to Berlin to be at this film festival for like one day and hang out with us and then fly back. Yeah, you read all these things on Instagram. Oh, Keanu's, so nice. I'm like, no one's probably done more for me or helped me in my career than he has. So I'm nothing but positive things to say.
And we have to honor those people. That's one big kick I've been on in this last year is don't be afraid to honor the people that open doors. Don't think so much pride about, it's got to be me. I did this. I did that. Get rid of that stuff and honor the people who have helped you, because for you to sit there and say that's all the things. Like, he's probably never asked you for anything. I know he's never asked me for anything, but that does mean something.
Mm-hmm.
Friendship means something. Acknowledging what someone does for you in this, especially in this business.
It's a collaborative art form for sure.
Yes. And at that level, a lot of people were like, yeah, well, if I was rich, I would fly everybody else out there too. You don't know that. I know a lot of rich people who aren't generous. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of famous people who aren't generous.
Mm.
I know a lot of famous people who aren't going around looking like, how can I help this young filmmaker who's a post soup of this movie?
Mm.
How can I?
He could make a doc. He could call up, Errol Morris or, whatever the top doc maker in the world is and be like, I have an idea for a documentary. Let's make it together. Instead, I'm the kid sitting next to him with a competitive eating movie.
Absolutely.
he chooses me. I said, okay.
And again, but his relationship with you was foundational. That's the point. What you did on Henry's Crime with him built a friendship that was on foundation. It wasn't transactional. It was he wanted to learn. You were taking time. He was at a stage in his career. He was learning producing. Fast forward to now me and him starring in this movie, the Whole Truth Together, that he gets to know me just over a few weeks. And he goes, hey, you produce some stuff on the indie level, I heard.
Hmm.
I was like, yeah. I said, I'm active in that world and always looking for good projects. He's like, well, one of the best guys that you'll ever meet in this business has a movie that I really love. I'm producing and trying to help him with. He's like, he's an amazing writer. And he's like, I really believe in him. But he always started with Keneally as a person.
Mm-hmm.
He would always say, you're just not going to, he's our cup of tea, or you're not going to meet a better person, or, And so that's how Already Gone came to me, originally called Green Dolphin, was without him knowing, Keanu still, this is after Side by Side now, this is after that success, now Keanu's agreed to help you with your first narrative film, right? Because Already Gone was your first narrative feature.
Yeah.
And you know he's on as a producer, but you have no idea he's on movie sets in New Orleans or in St. Bernard's Parish. You have no idea he's talking to some guy that you don't know. talking to me.
Yeah, trying to work on it, get it moved forward.
Some actor who happens to produce that he just met, and you damn sure don't know he's telling me how good of a person you are.
Huh.
That you damn sure don't know.
Yeah.
So these things, it all matters. How we treat people matters, how we work, let your yes be a yes matters, putting in the work, getting back up. I mean, I write tons of sketches that I don't shoot. Quentin Tarantino has a great quote. They're like, you've never made a bad movie. Yes, I have. You just haven't seen them.
Yep.
Because he has shorts that he made that no one's ever seen.
Yeah.
So now we get to Already Gone. You and I meet only over the phone at first because I was working on another movie when you came out to LA with him. And it took us about a year and a half to get the financing. for that. And we won't go too much into the weeds of it other than the fact that Chris and I end up bonding afterwards, really in post, because I was only there on set a couple of days. But the movie, what was originally written and kind of the hopefulness of what we were all going to try to do with that movie, specifically Chris as a writer-director, kind of didn't go to what we hoped for. That's fair enough.
Yeah, I would just say it was, I think like all movies are, it was challenging. We didn't have tons of days or resources to do what we wanted, but I'm pretty happy with the film that we made.
Oh, I'm very happy with the film. Yeah. I just like to make sure that we can now look back and say, oh, there were some things I wish we would have had a few more days. I know there were some things in the original script that I always miss not getting to shoot because of budgetary concerns, and it was them walking across the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh, yeah. It goes back to that learning process.
Yes.
You know, you're still, even though it's on another level, you're still out there pushing towards something. Myself, I hadn't done yet. I hadn't directed a full feature narrative movie. So again, it was stepping onto that path and hoping, you know, not to wander off into the woods again. And there's things I learned from that movie, again, about personnel and certain things you need and what's really important to make sure is in place. And next time, you know, you'll be more, like everything, you'll be more comfortable with it. You'll have more answers and more experience. So I'm trying to take it like that again as well.
And that's how I take it. Yeah. It is a success. First of all, it's completed. It's out. The world can see it. I'm very proud of it. I think we made a good movie. But I look at it like you do, and I say, oh, wow. Because at that time, both Keanu and I were working elsewhere, so neither of us could be on set with Chris. Mm. And it was a smaller crew. It was a smaller budget and a lot of moving parts. So we talk a lot about now going into our next movie, Wolfhead, of what was that process like to make us better? Yeah. What did we do well? You know, he worked his butt off.
Yeah.
No one outworked him, which I think is how it starts with a director.
Yep.
This idea that...
Well, I'd say a lot of people worked really hard.
Yeah, but you worked...
I don't mean like I worked harder than other people or anything.
No, I didn't say that, but you did work your butt off.
I just want to make that clear that people, you know, that's a very amazing feeling too, that you're on set with something you wrote and there's some people you know and some people who are strangers who are just dedicated to their craft and they're going to put in 110% on this movie. They don't know you, but they're interested in developing their craft and doing the best they can. And seeing that is really inspiring. There's something I wanted to say earlier too. We were talking about things that, you know, I remember being in the van looking at locations with the DP, Spencer Nottage, and the gaffer. His name was Dave. I don't remember his last name. We called him Sweet Dave because he was so nice. And we're talking about some things going, oh, you know, we don't have this, we don't have that, this is going to happen. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, that's a pain in the ass. Oh, that sucks. That's going to be so hard. And I hear them talking in the back and Spencer saying, oh, that will be an exciting and interesting challenge.
Blah, 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 blah. Oh.
And I was like, wow, like, did you just say that naturally? Like, that's not a put on, like a bumper sticker you read. That's your attitude in life when you come up against difficulties. That's an exciting and interesting challenge. Like, I wish, I want to think that automatically like, instead of, oh, that sucks, what a pain in the ass, which I do. Everybody probably does. Spencer probably does it too sometimes. But at that moment, I was like, oh, wow, I'm glad this guy is on my team. Both these guys are going to be working on this film, because if that's their attitude, no matter all these issues and challenges, they're going to be excited and interested about it and to try to overcome them and find solutions. So I was like, you know, being around people like that work with you is awesome. And it is a collaborative art form, and you do have to appreciate the people that help you with it, as you were saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone matters.
Yeah.
It all matters. Everything matters, but everyone matters.
Yeah. And that phrase, right? That becomes almost like that mantra. That's that positive affirmation. And like you said, that's probably not the only thing that ever comes out of his mouth or through his thoughts. But the fact is, if we load ourselves up with that, if we build these things in, you taught me a lesson just the other day, lead with positivity. And it's one of these things that you can shrug off and be like, oh, that's just so cliche or whatever. No, grab a hold of what that is.
And it's not corny, like, oh, this is going to be great.
Right. Sunshine and happy.
Positive. He's like, he's admitting it's a challenge.
Yeah.
We have things to overcome.
Exactly.
But it's going to be, like he said, break it down. It's going to be exciting to,
yeah.
to have this challenge instead of a pain in the ass or something negative.
Yeah.
And exciting doesn't mean easy. You know, it's yeah. exciting to, you know, fall off a cliff. but it's not a good outcome. But it's exciting and it's interesting. You know, he's going to learn something and build his tool set and his foundation, like we said. And he just had that in his natural
in
attitude.
His gut. Yeah. And that's we got to understand too. That's the filter. Because if the whole filter was, this is going to be a pain in the ass, even if something was good, we would still filter it through that. Because the yeah. way that our brain works, do you like to be wrong?
No.
I don't like to be wrong. Do you like to be wrong?
No. I paused, so I got it right.
Right. We don't like to be wrong. And so if the conversation in our head is, this is my belief of the way things are going to be, the brain says, oh, let me make that true. And no matter what you're going to go through, it's going to filter it through. Yeah. And if this guy says new and exciting challenges,
yeah.
then everything that comes through, that's the way it's received. That's the way it's understood.
And the physical side, as we've talked about before, of being nervous or excited are the exact same thing. Physically,
yep.
the same thing happens to yep. the body.
Yeah.
The negative part comes to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Nervousness is negative. Excited is positive.
Yeah.
So he could be taking the challenge. Like you said, he's feeling like, oh, the challenge. Yeah. He could have been feeling
he could have had the pit in the gut and his stomach.
Yeah.
He could have been
heartbeat racing, right? Because it's, you know, it's a big job for him.
No, it was cool too, because like that guy's going to do it and he's confident. He wasn't afraid, you know, and that's contagious.
Absolutely.
Like that's, you know, that's your guy, your DP and your gaffer. I mean, there's many people who are your persons.
Yeah. He is going to be in the fight with you. And that's the most important thing, I think, as a producer or director is the OQP. Who's going to end this battle with us? Only quality people, trying to treat everybody fairly, trying to hear everybody, do the best we can. And it's funny because we did not know each other very well. We met for the first time on set because I'm in the movie as well. But do you remember me sending an email after we wrapped or after I left? I left after a couple days.
So I remember that you were on set and you were going to play a cop in the movie. And I knew that you were the person that found the money for the movie and made that happen. And so I'm like, I need to meet this guy and thank him. I don't know what he looks like. I don't know anything. That's Jim Clark. I went over. I was like, I don't know if you remember. I hope it came out right, but I wanted you to know how appreciative I was because I was like, this guy doesn't know me at all, read the script, likes the script, and spent a year and a half busting his ass to get someone to give you a ton of money to make something. And you know, that's incredible. So I was very appreciative. Jim Clark is the man. None of this would have been happening if he didn't make that happen.
And you did. It was the first time I got to take my wife and my bonus son on a movie. So Marcy and Brendan were with me and you did, you came up and I had never, you know, again, didn't know, got there and he's in the
so
middle.
So he's like, get away from my car.
Yeah.
I don't need a squeegee.
Yeah. Who's this guy?
He thought I was coming to clean his windshield.
The last day, though, was a pretty unique day, and I got to watch you in the midst of trying to figure things out. And at this point, I'm an experienced producer, but I'm not an on-set producer of this, so I'm in a weird place of vocalizing too much. But I'm watching him work through some things, and it was a challenging
what day.
This was the fair.
Oh,
this was the fair. And so the next day, before I left. I think the next day was when you got married. I can't remember, but there was something about that. But God had put on my heart to just send him, and again, don't know him all that well, but I sent him an email just acknowledging the positive, watching him work hard, watching him how nice he was to people. You know, I just tried to lift you up. You know,
I do remember.
And
there's a lot going. It's a storm. It's a tornado.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I got to read an email now. You know, but then I realized, like, oh, that. You know, it just gives you that. It's like a little power bar. You know, for your
and that's
heart.
What I, like, that's okay. all I wanted to do was give him a little power bar. I just wanted to give a little nudge that I see you. Someone sees you. I know it feels chaotic. I know it.
And
feels
it wasn't
crazy.
A ton of that. Coming around.
No,
and I noticed that in the storm too. So.
Yeah, I noticed that on set. The other thing, quickly before we move on, I'll say is another cool thing about Already Gone was that I had just met, not long before this, our producer of this show, Phil Snow. And it was also the first set that Phil and his daughter, Michelle, got to go on. So I had just met them and became friends with them. And I was like, yeah, I'll get you guys on this movie. So they spent a week. Huh. And also, I believe it was the first premiere that they ever got to go to, like a red carpet premiere when we premiered it in New York City, by the grace of God, which was also twofold. Before we move on, I'll say, Vernon Green, shout out, G3CS, G Cube Community Services, an amazing charity here in the Fredericksburg and Northern Virginia area that paid for our red carpet premiere. And our boy Keanu doing his first public service announcement in his history for us, for G3. So the first PSA that Keanu ever did was for a small charity in Fredericksburg, Virginia, run by a five-tour United States Army veteran, amazing guy, Vernon Green, who cut the check. And so that's how we got to have it.
Yeah.
It was a very special night to get to go. And now that at that point, you and I were closer, so it was really special to do that together. So now that's really cool to be sitting here today with our producer, Phil, of New Thoughts for Actors and Filmmakers, who's also a partner with us in our side business, DACO, but also to go back on this story. Again, foundational friendships, foundational things being built. So after Already Gone, we sell that comes out. You and I then start working on Wolfhead.
Yeah.
I read it and immediately signed on. Now this is, let me back up for another quick second though. For Already Gone or Green Dolphin at the time, I had gone around to several people I liked working with. And at the time, there was a producer who really loved the project, and you got to fly out and meet with Keanu. But he had a partner at the time that Keanu called me and said, hey, I don't think I'm going to go with that deal. He just, like, I didn't say anything bad. He goes, I just don't think I'm going to go with that deal.
Hmm.
He calls you, tells you the same thing, right? And basically says to you, if I remember, you can take it if you want, but I'm out.
Yeah, that's what he said. And he's like, they have an offer. He's like, if you want to do it, go for it. But I'm not into it, so I would be out. But, you know, I'd wish you the best of luck. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep my wagon hitched to Keanu here because, you know, he's a great person. He has a lot more experience than I do at this. And I'm sure his reasoning and decision-making on here, you know, he just knows more than I do about deals and things like that. And I want to honor, you know, our friendship and everything he's done for me. And I want to work with him. That relationship is, you know, of value. So I said, sure, let's move on and figure it out. But at the time, I really wanted to take the, you know, I wanted to make this movie. That's what I want. I don't care about the deal or the offer, the money. I'm like, I wrote this script. I want to make the script. That's all I cared about. But, you know, you have to hold your horses and figure things out.
Here's the thing about that. What he doesn't know is that I know that from KR and how much that built my loyalty and devotion to him. Because the moment he just, that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing to be a filmmaker and have a real $1 million offer to go make your movie and have to walk away from it.
Yeah.
That is hard. His first movie, that is a big deal. And the fact that he chose his friend, the fact that he chose to be loyal to Keanu, that he wouldn't even have been at that table if it wasn't for, spoke so much volumes for him to me at that time.
Yeah.
Because, man, I know how hard that is to walk away from that. And he chose wisely. And can I just say, this is before John Wick. We want you to understand,
but
John Wick had not come out.
I would still say, like, making, not choosing that, and still having the other choice be Keanu is not that huge a sacrifice in a lot of ways. I know what you're saying, but it's still like, there, you know, it's still a good decision.
It's a great decision.
It wasn't. I just don't want to paint myself so sacrificial here. It's like, you know, it was like an approach conflict in a way, and Keanu is gonna win that battle.
I love what you're saying. Yeah. I love the humility of it. But I'm being honest from my other experiences in this business of how many people would have taken the money. How many people would not have missed the opportunity.
Yeah, I just don't want to paint myself as...
No, you know, and fair enough.
Yeah, and I don't think that's coming across.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah. But I want to make sure that the people listening, you understand that this was before John Wick.
Yeah.
This is before John Wick had catapulted Keanu back up to this amazing place that he well has deserved. And Keanu wasn't saying he wasn't going to be your friend. Keanu was, he literally said to you, you can take it.
Yeah.
And he never spoke a bad word over why, even to me, he never spoke a bad word about why he didn't want to take that deal.
Yeah.
My point is that, yes, I understand what you're saying. Either decision at that point for you is like, well, I'm still choosing Keanu Reeves. Yes, I do agree with you. It's not like you were choosing nothing. But what my point is, though, you chose Keanu for the right reasons, though.
Sure.
It was friendship. Because when I got into Wolfhead with you, that was what we first agreed upon. Keanu first, didn't we?
Yeah.
Respect Keanu, respect the friendship. What's most important is that when we're 80 is we all want to sit on the back of a porch and drink a beer together. That's more important than getting rich, more important than getting the movie made, right? But that
so started. Beer is at the top of Jim's beer. Just to be clear.
Well, no. To be clear, beer with Keanu.
It's not like ideally. Behind the Kmart.
You know, I'm not a sacrificial lamb. Like either works for me, Chris. Either works for me. A beer with Keanu or rich and fame. You know. They're both good. I win.
It's hard for me not to say stupid things.
But anyways, that's why I wanted to stop there, because I wanted to make sure that for the time right, people did understand that. Because I think now, if because of Keanu's, because of the John Wick success and all that, I do want to take people back to a time where that movie had not come out yet, and he was hustling and fighting for his friend. The other thing I can tell you, being a producer that is special, is when everyone has their movies. Everyone has, in this business, at a certain level, like, for someone to work hard for you when it's not their film, they're not going to star in it, they're not going to direct it, they're not going to produce it, they're not going to make a whole lot of money off of it, it's special. Hold on to those people.
That's a great point. Everybody's busy. Everybody has their own dream and goal and project that they want to do. That's a good point.
Yes.
I know I'm just repeating what you just said, but if someone is going to take their time to work on your stuff, that's an incredible thing that they're doing for you.
Yeah.
Even sending someone, you're asking someone to read your script. If that person actually reads your script and gets back to you with notes or something, that's amazing. They did you a huge favor.
Yeah.
You know, people, hey, I'll read your script. I'd love to read your script. Can I see it? Okay. You know, I'm like, you sure? I don't want to put upon you. Yeah, I want to read it. And you give them your script, and you never hear back from 90% of people you send your script to. Or if you do, you know, the next 5% there are...
I got halfway through.
Yeah. Or it's months later or something. But the person who actually reads it quickly, gets back to you, has things to say about it, that's amazing and rare. And that is a favor they've done for you, a gift that they've given you. So if anyone's in that situation, please... appreciate that person who does it for you.
Yeah, amen. We've bonded over that. You and I've bonded over that as well, because he's read several movies that I've directed for me and given me great notes and watched movies for me and cuts and different things. And
I've given you a great gift. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. That's not why I was saying it. Looking at Jim's eyes, you better appreciate it. I was thinking of it.
Perfect example is I made a film called The Thin Black Line, which is a feature documentary I directed that's coming out in January of 24. Chris was very loving and helpful during the post process with me. And again, had not met Chris Cassidy, that movie led to an opportunity to produce a movie for the National Law Enforcement Museum. And they wanted me to direct a documentary for the museum. And I said, now, of course, I'd watched, Chris Cassidy had made another documentary as well, which was fantastic, that I loved. And I'd heard
Dennis and Lois,
which I loved. And Chris Keneally had vouched for, he's like, if you like me, you're going to love Cass. Like, he literally would say that every time. And I had not met Cass. And the president of the museum is like, yeah, I want you to direct this movie. I want you to direct this movie. Here's the budget and all that. And I said, I appreciate it. I said, but I can get you a Porsche. And I said, if you trust me, I said, I have the people that should direct this movie. And she says, okay, I trust you. So I called him. First call I had with Cass was that day. You got him on the phone. And me, you, and Cass had about a 25, 30-minute conversation. They put together a treatment, sent it to me. I gave 4 or 5 notes on the treatment. And from the time we had our first conversation, it was less than 7 days, and we had been hired and had a film greenlit by the museum that we all produced, that he directed with Cass. And, and then now our foundational friendship has just grown. Cass had a fair use lawyer that I ended up using, an amazing guy.
Oh, yeah.
And so again, now his relationships become, Cass like, oh, I'll throw you a favor, meet this guy.
Yeah.
And that's what led us to start DACO, which is our own documentary film company that we have. And brother Phil Snow is involved with. So the four of us now have that. And Wolfhead is very exciting. We're very close. We can't say who our lead actor is, but it's big. We're very excited about it. The one producer that was trying to help us, though, with Already Gone, he left the partner that KR didn't really vibe with. He's no longer working with that guy. He has come back around and randomly called me one day and said, hey, whatever you and Keneally do, if you guys ever do anything again, he goes, I just want to work with you guys. I said, well,
yeah,
it's funny.
The offer we walked away from for Already Gone is now the person we're working with.
Came back better.
That's right.
Yeah, wow. Came back better.
That's awesome. Yeah,
better situation. He left. He had a partner. Yeah. That partner, he left that partner. He's by himself now.
Huh.
And he just randomly called. And I'm like, well, and I called Chris. And we're like, yeah, told KR. And here we are. So we have our financing. But that guy actually believed in Chris from the first meeting years ago.
Yeah.
It all matters.
Yeah. Well, and to kind of circle back a little bit too, when you were talking about that conversation between you and Keanu, what I appreciate about that as well is that's a hard conversation.
About the deal.
And to have the integrity, because you could have easily said, well, screw you. And I understand the whole, I know, but you have to understand, even though it doesn't feel like that was an option, it's still there. And it's somebody having a conversation with you that's hard, it's personal.
Yeah.
And to register that, I know all of us, we have those moments where we have to hear in that way. The way that you received it was really well. I'm not saying, oh, Chris, you're so wonderful.
Yeah.
It's just understanding that is still a risk, no matter what level you are. Whether you are just starting out, whether you're at the highest point, it's still this moment where these people matter that are around you, these relationships you've built over time, and all of a sudden you're having a conversation that says, I'm not with that.
Yeah.
You can if you want. It could have been hurt. But to be bold enough to have that conversation means something.
Yeah.
And says something about the relationship as well.
Yeah, to put a, you know, it was a strong desire that I wanted to make this movie.
I bet.
And this was a path toward it. And I didn't do it. But again, it's not, oh, Chris, you're so wonderful. It's like,
I got it.
Not doing it. I also had
it is a
the
human
other option.
Process.
Was like, Keanu is going to stay on, and we're going to try to find another way to do it.
Yeah.
And even that, too, you saw a process, and all of a sudden, okay, we're not going that way.
Yeah.
And it changes. Again, what that does in the mind, those are all mind games.
Hmm.
And if you don't have a vision down the road as to what I want, how this is going to look, even though the path might be a little squirrely as you go along.
It's not, it's delaying the gratification.
That's it too, right?
Or it might be delaying it that you never even get the gratification.
And if you're coming out to LA for the very first time because you're going to be an actor, you left everything behind, all the stories, all the stuff, and you're like, I'm not in that hit movie in the first year. If you've written script 102 and nobody's picked it up yet, you still grind it. It might not look exactly the way that you think, but you keep that destination in mind, and that's what drives everything inside of you. And utilize, like we're talking about right now, that everything matters. It all is foundational. It's all building blocks, and it leads you to those great destinations. There's going to be difficulties.
And that why, Chris, is why was the friendship I have with Keanu.
Right.
He knew if I say no to this deal, it was no guarantee we were going to get another deal. We'd been at it for years.
Mm.
This was the first person that actually made a real offer on the movie. So it wasn't like Chris Keneally was like, if I say no to this, there's going to be another one right here. You could
have
never.
Yeah, there was no bidding war.
There's no bidding war.
Right.
It's like one person made an offer.
And here's one thing I've learned, because I have been very, very blessed to become friends with very successful people. And a very good friend of mine has this great quote, Jonathan Shores, love him to death. He says, givers have to set limits because takers don't have any.
Huh.
And if you don't think Keanu Reeves has had tons and tons and tons and tons of takers in his life, you are crazy, okay? And in that moment, and I can't speak for the man, I can only speak for me as being someone who has felt what it feels like when transactional friends get what they want from you and then are no longer your friend, okay? And then they're on the, you know, woe is me train over here because I'm no longer in their life, right? You didn't have a transactional friendship with Keanu. You had a real friendship with him, a real bond. And in that moment, you chose your friend. You might not want to look at it. And I'm not saying it's a sacrifice, but that is what you did. In that moment, you looked at him, not as a movie star, not as anything. You chose your friend. How did that make him feel? Because it did show one thing. You ain't no taker, bro. And getting to where we are with Wolfhead right now, you and I have had multiple conversations. We've had multiple offers, multiple opportunities with people. And we always go back to, what's our why?
Yeah.
And you said last night, we might never make Wolfhead. I'd rather not make it than make it with the wrong people. I'd rather not make it than screw someone over, be a greedy punk, be a prideful. No, we're going to make it with good people, and our why is going to be strong.
Yeah.
I think, you know, appreciating life and what you have, you know, it's great to have goals and everything. And I, like I said before, that makes your life more interesting, but also appreciating what you have takes away that desperation and helps you make choices based on the right thing. So if Wolfhead never happens, I have an amazing wife.
Yep.
I have great friends. I'm healthy. My family's good. I said friends. I'll say friends again.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have more than I do. Of course they do, you know, but I have what I have, and I like it and I appreciate it. And if nothing else comes of it, you know, I don't, it's the icing. The other stuff's the icing on the cake.
Huh.
I already have the cake. Sometimes I don't even eat the icing when I eat cake.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You've always had so much peace.
I don't want to come across. I feel like I'm coming across as
stop. You're judging yourself. Okay, stop judging yourself. Right?
Honestly, I appreciate what I have.
The devil is alive.
Yeah, yeah. You got to understand too. This is for folks that are still going through it as well.
Sure.
And if the perspective is,
I mean, we're all still going through it,
right? Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We're all together, and the understanding too that no matter where you are in your journey, there's still stuff we can learn.
Yeah.
And if this is something that you've learned by grinding it out like you have, like Jim has grinded out like I have, like I've had to grind it out, we pass that information to people. We're constantly learning, and this is how we grow. This is how we get better. You don't know who's going to be standing on the corner next, handing out those flyers for that next movie, thinking, okay.
you don't know. Yeah, you don't know who's in a decision today just to say yes. That hears this and says, "Oh well, I'll say yes to going and handing out those flyers."
Yeah.
That then starts their journey. But you've always. I feel like you and I have always bonded over joy and peace too, like just having a sense of joy. That comes from being grateful. When you can look around and just be like, hey, I'm great where I am. I get it all the time. You're like, oh, well, don't you think you'd be farther? I'm like, have you seen how far I've come? Like, I am grateful.
Yeah.
Like, if you knew where I started and where I am today, it makes zero sense.
Yeah.
And so we'll end with this. Why you came down to join us in Fredericksburg, Virginia. That's where we're, shout out Fredericksburg, Virginia. It's where we're filming from today.
Woo!
Recording from today. We got some awesome people in with us today. We got actual Johnny Shorzy. Jonathan Shores is here, my boy Shorzy, who's last year was a guest. He's one of the actors I work with. Amazing. Our producer, Phil Snow. Our amazing producer, sound designer, sound mixer, stud.
Engineer, producer.
I don't even know. I got to give this guy more credit.
Our own Dr. Dre. Yeah.
He literally is our own Dr. Dre. Dr. Burns in the house. What's up, Dr. B? And the reason that I wanted to talk about that is because, so... You don't know, as years ago, I've always had, I don't sing, I don't play music.
But you can dance.
I can dance.
If you want to.
You ought to see me on a pole at 2 o'clock in the morning, baby. Oh, man, I'm flexible. So you don't know, but I've always wanted to produce music.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it, but I've always had like this desire in my heart. I used to go to karaoke. And, man, I just love the, so anyways, you write a song, because I did know you were a musician, and we've talked about that, and I've known about you being a musician, but you write a song in May and send it to me, and I loved it, and you said, well, I'm not much of a singer. I thought it was great, but you said, I'm not much of a singer. Do you know anyone? I said, well, I know Jonathan Shores, who I love. Jonathan, not only an actor, an amazing musician, and worship leader, who I've gone to his church and heard him sing live.
So, man,
and what you didn't know is I've been talking to Jonathan and Phil about doing a music video for 2 years.
Yeah.
We've had like multiple ideas, like, I want to shoot a music video too. So
that's cool.
He cuts the album for you, or cuts that song for you.
Jonathan,
Jonathan does. And then Jonathan, Phil, and I are talking about redoing it at a studio. And Phil picks up and calls Burnsy. He's like, hey, what are you doing next week? We want to come cut a song. And of course, Burnsy's like, yeah, come down to the house, to the studio. I said, well, if we're going to cut one song, let's cut an album. Because I don't know any better. Circa 2001, when I decide I'm going to make a movie and I decide I'm going to make a feature film, and everyone's like, you can't make a feature, you got to start with a short. And I'm like, it's not what the book told me. I'm going to make a feature because I didn't know any better. Mm. So I'm like, well, let's make an album. So you then say, well, I'm getting on a train. I want to come down and be a part of the party.
There's a strike going on. I'm on a forced vacation. Yeah. So I got this week off. Like, I'll come down from, I'm in New York. I'll come down to Virginia. And I'm like, I'll just watch. I'll watch Jonathan sing and see what's happening and see what's up with this Burns character.
Dr. B. But then you did send me more songs, though, because I said to you. I asked you, I said, do you have any more songs? And
got,
of course, I'm on
songs.
A forced vacation as well. And so the... So anyways, we end up going down to Bernsey's beautiful home in his studio. And
it's an amazing studio.
Just
amazing. Immaculate, high-tech, organized, beautiful, relaxed. I mean, every box you would want to check about a place to record music, you checked it. And then the talent that John Burns has on top of it is amazing.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. I will say this is, first of all, also shout out to Mrs. Burns, his beautiful wife, who got us cookies and our lunch yesterday, which was amazing. But we had so much fun. Nathan, you got to go with us on a whim. You had a client cancel.
I rescheduled last minute, yeah.
You literally just were like, well, I'll go.
I'm going.
You know,
I just want to be in the room.
and so here's this thing that did not exist a couple of months ago. As far as the song didn't exist, you didn't even know I knew Jonathan just back in May. So you're talking 2 months. It's August 18th. So May 18th, none of this existed. Last week, the album didn't exist. The band didn't exist. Yeah. None of this existed. And yesterday we completed 6 songs. Our band name is Trains to Virginia. And our debut album title is going to be Let It Rip.
There you go. Climbing the charts soon.
But here's the thing. We didn't do it for charts, money, all that. We did it to just create, right, and do something new.
Yeah.
But we said yes. We were open to saying yes. And I had so much fun. I didn't think I could have that much fun.
Yeah.
I had so much fun learning the process and watching you guys, what you were doing, and laying down the musicals and listening to Burnsy talking about the technical side, watching Phil, my producer, with me. He's on the laptop producing this show. He's working on this show while his other ear is listening to the music.
Yeah, he's like the AD. He's like an AD. On schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Shorzy singing his butt off, and just, you know, if you don't know the thing about Jonathan Shores, it's his energy that's consistent and it's contagious. It's always just up and excited. It's why I always have to have him around. But to watch him sing all day. And so I'm just so thrilled because this thing didn't exist.
Yeah.
And what I would say to you dreamers out there is the great steam engine quote. I'm showing you, when he finally showed the world the steam engine for the first time, he said, what you see today, years ago, I could only see in my mind.
Yeah.
And it's that first step. It's that being open to saying yes. In relationships, I have no business being in a mix. I have no business being in that sound, that beautiful studio at Burnsy's yesterday. I got no business being involved. I have no business at all. Yet all of my producing experience got me here with relationships. And the one thing I did do in the very early part of the day was set the tone with Phil, who worked as our AD, who just enough to remind him, don't ever set ourselves up that we can't make it.
Yeah.
And just slightly, don't ever do it. Always say we are going to make our day. Always be bold. Always be ambitious. Because the mind's a powerful thing, Nathan, and we don't want to be wrong. And if you tell people we can't do something...
You're right.
You're right. If you tell people we can do something...
You're right.
So, you guys are awesome. This has been an amazing... Did you have fun? Did you have fun yesterday?
I was going to say, my goal, when I had a goal to come down here, it was to... enjoy it and hang out with y'all and relax. That's kind of my, if I can be in a state where I'm relaxed and enjoying what I'm doing, that's, you know, going to be a successful time. And that's what I put my mind to. And that's what it was like yesterday. I had a ball. It was one of the you know, amazing time, well worth the trip and beyond. Yeah. Great. Well,
me too. I'm
great
very
experience.
Grateful. We're grateful to have you on the show. Last thing on Keanu, just to say this, is I texted him yesterday from the studio and I said, hey, our boy is amazing. We got him in. I sent a picture of Keneally and Shorzy working on a song. And I said, we're doing his debut album. He wrote several songs. He's doing amazing. It was the fastest KR ever texted me back. He texted me back, right? What? That's amazing. And he texted right back. So shout out to our boy KR. Love you, brother. Grateful for you. Grateful for the show. Love you, Nathan. Grateful for you, pal. Next time, we're going to be talking about, I don't even know. It's going to be cool. It'll be full of gratitude.
That's right.
It'll be full of encouragement. And it'll be full of love. Love you all. Stay true. Dream big. Say yes.
Let it rip.
Let it rip, baby.
Everything matters. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you like what you're hearing, please remember to hit the subscribe button and follow us on X and Instagram. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you again soon.